Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event. Able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host Dave.
And Ben.
And we have a special co-host with us this week. She's been on the show before. You might know her from her her comedy or her YouTube videos, like her Comic on Comics. And if you don't know her from that, you will know her very soon when we see her in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 as Squirrel Girl. So everyone, welcome Maggie May back to the show.
Are we breaking the news today? All right.
Yes,
cats
yes.
Cats out of the bag. trying to keep the secret. Hi, guys. I'm Maggie. That's who they're introducing. It's me. Hello.
So we have a lot of interesting Spider-Man news to talk about. A lot has happened, I would say, in the last week and a half, around our favorite friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. And it's quite interesting and mind-blowing at the same time. And I kind of want to start with that Sony memo that came out.
Yes. The
rules.
That was a little much. Would you like to explain what it said first?
I'm sorry, say that again? Because you and Ben talked at the same time.
I was going to say, why doesn't someone go ahead and explain maybe what the email said first?
Memo basically said that it was, and I believe it was from 2011, when they were beginning to work on the Amazing Spider-Man franchise, and it laid out what the rules were around Spider-Man. And, you know, couldn't be a drug dealer, couldn't...
Does not torture, does not kill unless in defense herself of others, does not use foul language beyond PG-13, yada, yada, yada.
Doesn't smoke.
But they also have Peter Parker character traits. His full name is Peter Benjamin Parker. He is Caucasian and heterosexual. His parents become absent from his life and childhood. So it's setting the guardrails.
Right, right.
And it's easy to interpret those guardrails as biased, but they're really the line of traits of Peter Parker as he's existed in the comics for over 50 years.
Right, right, exactly.
I feel like Stan Lee, you know, must have had a lot to say about this, and I feel like he was just trying to protect, you know, the character that he made. It doesn't seem malicious or out of line to have a set of guide rules for, you know, a character that you created if someone else is about to take the reins with it. So I kind of feel like that was its purpose.
Right. I think a lot of people, some people might be jumping on this as sort of saying that, you know, Spider-Man has to be this way. But it's really not what it's saying. It's really not talking about Spider-Man in general. It's talking about Peter Parker as Spider-Man and setting the parameters for what he is. It's the character Bible of sorts. And it's an important first step to establishing a character.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. And one of the things, too, I mean, you know, I think trying to make Spider-Man homosexual in the movies is kind of silly at this point. I mean, he was married to Mary Jane. He's well established. I think one of the other things that people were upset about was them saying he's Caucasian. It's like, it says Peter Parker's Caucasian, which is true.
Right.
It's Miles Morales, who's African-American. So if they were going to go the route of Miles Morales, yes, you wouldn't say he's Caucasian. That I could see people being upset over. But yeah, you're right. It's guardrails for a character that's been around for 50 plus years, you know? And Stan Lee did come out and had a comment about it and basically says, you know,
He
stands by it. Right. That's the character he created. And, If people want a black Spider-Man, that's great. But the character he created was white because he didn't see a need to make him anything else at the time.
Right.
You know,
and your dog agrees.
Some people, yes, exactly. I understand what he's saying. He's saying, you know, these are like canon characters, and it's okay to like, you know, to invent your own characters, like making Miles Morales, so we can have like a more diverse cast of characters. But I totally see his point in, you know, defending what he said.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and also, it's, you know, as a creator, you kind of have to defend your creative choices, you know. A lot of the articles I read around that new piece of news really bothered me. Like, the one was, oh, look, the white heterosexual Stan Lee says that Peter Parker should be white and heterosexual. It's like, well, yeah.
Because he is.
Because he is. He's,
yeah, I mean, not saying we can't have, you know, different kinds of Spider-Man, and like,
right,
point in case, like, they have a Miles Morales. He's not saying that that is like not doable or against his wishes.
Right,
he's
right.
Simply saying,
and
like, let's,
Stan Lee, I don't think has even come against Miles Morales or any of the other permutations, right, of Spider-Man homage characters. You know, there are plenty of Spider characters, you know, other than Peter Parker, of various different, you know, heritages and walks of life, and no one's saying those are wrong, or that those should go away, or that they should never be a part of this canon, or are not recognized. Those are all perfectly valid.
Right.
But Peter Parker happens to be a white, straight guy. That's just the way it is. And
yes.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And I mean, and the problem was, like, you know, he was created so long ago when every superhero is white and straight. So, I mean, that's just the kind of what we're dealing with now, you know, as we're being a more open, you know, society. But, you know, that's where it came from. So we can't just, you know, throw it out the window.
Right. Although it does seem like Marvel is slowly trying to pivot that in the comic world, at least.
Exactly.
I mean, it seems like after their convergence-like event that they're working on, we're going to have a shift in gender and race in a bunch of cases becoming more permanent.
Yes.
Right, which is really exciting. And
it is.
Yeah.
Because that's character evolution. That's a little bit different than, you know, undoing the history and replacing it. It's evolving the characters in a direction.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's even... Yeah. I mean, it goes back to... we've heard this before on the show. We had, I can't think of his name. Eric.
Eric Cooper, yeah.
Eric Cooper. And he made a very valid point about, like, Miles Morales is a great character and all, but it's hand-me-dan powers. You know, you're just taking an African-American and putting him in the Spider-Man suit. Why not make him his own character, you know, and
right,
lift him up, as opposed to, you know, let's make Spider-Man black. Like, no, leave Spider-Man alone and give us, you know, characters, our own characters.
It is sort of a hand-me-down mantle.
Right.
Right. I see his point, but I also see, I see the benefits of, you know, attaching the household name Spider-Man to, you know, a more diverse cast. Like, I understand that as well, because kids grow up loving Spider-Man, and then, you know, to see a character that you love in a different term, it's just as exciting, I sometimes feel like. But that's true, too. I think they could be doing a better job about making new characters and also pushing those characters with their comic books and their advertising. But, you know, you can't really blame them for sticking to their tying true Spider-Man and Batman and Superman. Oh, never get away. So.
Hello?
I'm still here.
Okay.
Hello?
Maybe there's a weird sound there.
Yes, there was a weird sound there. Oh. Technical difficulties. and now there's a dog barking.
But yeah, so, and I agree. There is sort of, it's that line of art versus business. I mean, this is a business. They are trying to, you know, entertain us, but they're also trying to continue to entertain us and make money off of it. So there's a benefit to them to carry these mantles forward, but I like that they're finally recognizing that you cannot make a character, you know, live and be the same for decade after decade after decade. There has to be change. There has to be evolution. And sometimes there has to be a handing over of a mantle from one generation to another. And they're starting to act on that and starting to take those steps. And I like seeing that. I like seeing that they're finding ways to, you know, shift the mantle of Captain America and of Thor and of various other, you know, traits and characters onto new blood. Even Hawkeye, they're doing that with in the comics. And I find that interesting. And they're willing to do it with Spider-Man as well.
Right. And I think it's coming out, I feel like it's coming out more of a necessity now because, you know, this is now what used to be subculture is now pop culture. And since so many people seem to now know all the stories, they feel like, well, now's the time to expand because I guess, you know, it's a much more relevant thing now, comic books in general.
Right. But speaking of change, they did announce who's going to be playing Spider-Man.
Yes.
And Tom Holland.
Hey, he's a little boy.
He's a 19-year-old Londoner. Of
Yes.
course, more English people
I would.
stealing our superhero roles.
I don't know why this bothers you so much, Dave. The British invasion. Look, I'm all for it. If the British can pull off these, if they can affect the accent and pull off the part, I'm okay with it. I'm not gonna begrudge him.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, they're definitely. I mean, if you've seen pictures of him, he's very young looking. He's a very young 19. So they're definitely going for he's a kid.
Yeah,
This
wow,
time
he's
out.
19.
Yeah,
He looks, the whole time
he
I'm thinking
looks
he's
like he's
12,
15.
maybe 11.
Yeah, he looks really
Yeah.
young. I think the Hollywood casting sort of has skewed our eye for these types of things because constantly we're seeing, 19, 20-year-olds playing high school kids in television and movies. So
Right.
it does sort of fit that paradigm. But yeah, I think what I'm not going to judge him negatively. What I need to see is some sort of example of him in the part, and hopefully we'll see that in Civil War. Because I think, like, I definitely have strong opinions about both Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield in their portrayal of Spider-Man slash Peter Parker. I think most of us were pretty happy with Maguire in those first movie or two, but I kind of felt he fell flat as Spider-Man. I felt he had a strong Peter Parker game. He played the nerd, really well. But when he got into the suit, he wasn't witty. He wasn't funny. He didn't, throw zingers at the bad guys all that much. And I felt that was a bit of a misstep. Whereas Andrew Garfield did that part really well, but then was kind of a douchebag as Peter Parker. So it's kind of a hit and miss there.
Yes. I mean, yeah, we've said this many times on the show, that he Garfield came off more of as a loner, a loner skateboard kid than he did a smart, nerdy guy. But I also kind of half blame the writing for Tobey Maguire not having enough quips, you know?
You're probably right, but at the same time, I have a hard time hearing him say quippy lines and having them sound, like Spider-Man.
I thought about that as well, and I feel like it was, you know, kind of it, the writers could have definitely written better parts for him while he was in the suit. But again, I think they were looking at Tobey Maguire, who plays, you know, Spider-Man in such a
Seabiscuit.
specific and kind of like, exactly. And I feel like they couldn't really push him in that direction. And again, with the new Spider-Man films, I was not a fan. Although I do agree, I think Andrew Garfield was, when he was in the suit, it was like that was Spider-Man. Like that was exactly it. And maybe again, it could be a little bit of the writing because I know they were pulling from the new iterations of his comic books, which, you know, do have him kind of cooler and the skateboard guy.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. But yeah, so, you know, again, it could be on both parts, but either way, it wasn't perfect. So I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a definitely room to
Well,
fill.
hopefully they'll fix things on all fronts. Now that we have Kevin Feige stepping up to the plate, bringing him into the fold, helping produce this, they have a new cast, they have new writers, they have new direction, and they're holding hands. So we'll see if this goes the direction that it should be going. I did like also, Dave, I told you about this earlier, there was a quip that came out by Kevin Feige about Spider-Man and the reboot that they're doing. Basically equating the Spider-Man new movie and franchise that could come from it to like a John Hughes vibe. And I
Yes.
think that's awesome. Like I would love to see that version of Spider-Man on the big screen.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the last two have been very like dramatic, and that's, Spider-Man's definitely, he doesn't always have that tone in the comics. Yeah.
So for
I would be.
those who are listening who are unfamiliar with John Hughes,
Shame on you.
he
Yeah, wait, who
he gave us The Breakfast Club, he gave us Pretty in Pink, so all of those teen movies from the 80s. So yeah, I can like, and I said this to you earlier, Ben, when we were talking about this, is that when you watch the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon on Disney XD, it definitely, especially the early episodes, had more of a teen vibe like that, you know?
Absolutely.
So I could
Yeah.
definitely see them
And that's a
going for that in the
great show.
movies.
Yeah,
But it
it
was
is a good
not
show.
watching it. It was a really good show.
Yeah.
What do you think, John?
Oh, I actually think. Hey, you don't pay me to do that.
Ah, you snuck in.
Yes. We also don't pay you,
Yeah.
John.
If you paid me to think, I wouldn't say half of the weird stuff that
That's true.
So yes, I don't know if you heard the whole thing, but they had said that one of the things Kevin Feige came out and said is he wants to have a John Hughes vibe to the next Spider-Man movie.
Okay, yours is doing the soundtrack. I don't know what, really? Okay, that's interesting.
Well, I mean, think about it. Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, that teens having fun,
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off, yes. Teens being teens, having fun, not just it's all about this weight and responsibility on his shoulders,
Yeah,
which
as long as we don't get
maybe a
the
little Weird Science in there.
okay.
Actually, though, yeah.
Did he also do My Science Project? Because that was also a weird one
No,
in
I
the
think that
same
was someone
genre.
else trying to emulate that type of genre, but it wasn't him.
So yeah. Well, yeah. As long as we don't get the weepy whine, I think we've had enough of superheroes that were just like so tortured and couldn't tell what to do. If Spider-Man's
Well,
supposed to be
again,
fun,
well, that's what we have the
fine.
DC movies for now.
Right.
Yeah,
It's true.
exactly. We don't need another Marvel movie like that. They can go as light and funny as they want. Peter Parker goes to the prom. I hope that's the first one they make.
Yes.
I would see that.
Yeah, I mean, I do think I will say that in both franchises, like especially in The Amazing Spider-Man, the one and two, he was hit with that load of responsibility right away. Like, yes, we know great power comes great responsibility. We understand this. It's the cornerstone
Yeah.
of a lot of the books, but he's still a teenager too, you know?
I hate to ask this, but which Spider-Man 1 and 2?
Amazing Spider-Man
Both of
1
them.
and 2.
Ah, okay.
Well,
Because you just described both
all
of
of them
them.
beat us over the head with the same message, though.
Yes,
Yeah.
yes. So.
Yes. So yes, we obviously, Ben, we I bet John, we've already talked about the casting and then the news that he wants it to be like a John Hughes. What do you think of oh, I can't think of the kid's name now. It's escaped my head.
Tom Holland.
Tom
Yeah, Tom Holland being cast as Spider-Man, John.
I don't know him.
Exactly. That's what everyone's
Exactly.
saying.
But
Keep
that's a
an open
good
mind.
thing.
Yep.
Oh wait, Tom. Okay. I just looked him up on IMDb, of course. Okay. I think the less well known, the better at this point, because A, it gives them the ability to make more movies without having to worry about half the budget just going to one actor. Which means that they can easily port him into other, movies with maybe other heroes without breaking the budget and having all these contract things going on. But the other thing is, with their casting, if they cast a complete unknown, it's not like you're going to get another Anakin Skywalker with the acting ability of a wooden board. So, we have a much better chance of actually seeing something cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, definitely. And there I will say this, we're all saying the same thing here, like, yeah, we don't really know him. Let's wait till we see some previews, see what he's like in the costume and stuff. But there was a lot of outrage over him being cast as Spider-Man. And it's like, look, give the kid a chance, you know?
Well, there is
outrage over Keith Ledger. Jeez, you know?
Well, that's true.
You just don't know until you see it.
Yes. But there a lot of them are seeing it. They're looking at the whole, you know, white heterosexual thing and thinking that, like, a lot of people seem to want Miles. And I have a strong opinion about this, Dave. I'll press it right now, and you might find it. It might spark something in your brain, but I'm going to say it. I think to relaunch Spider-Man and jump over Peter Parker to someone like Miles Morales would be tantamount to doing Ant-Man without at least acknowledging Hank Pym.
Thank you!
You mean like they did in the cartoons where every time you turn around there was a new Green Lantern and in the background somewhere there was like a plane or a gravestone with Hal Jordan's name on it?
But a big part of Miles Morales' character in the books is he doesn't feel like he'll ever live up to Peter Parker's shadow.
So it
makes no sense to have Miles without Peter.
Right. It's definitely an important... First of all, they were created by a similar accident, but also he was inspired by Peter Parker and Spider-Man. He was inspired to act because of that legacy. So to not have that paradigm... you know, Peter Parker is essentially his Uncle Ben.
You know, if they were smart, they would just start with Miles Morales and acknowledge the fact that the Peter Parker of the former films died.
No.
And just keep it one continuity.
You just said if they're smart.
I mean, I see where you're going there, but at the same time, I don't think, because I don't want to tie in that continuity at all. To the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I want to pretend it never happened. Either.
What's that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they felt like they had to start over because now that they, you know, have the rights, it's like they're starting a whole new set of films. And I feel like they just wanted to reclaim it first before they could take any liberties with it. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to, you know, see Miles Morales down the road somewhere.
Right.
And absolutely. Did you guys hear about the, in Daredevil, there was a Morales drop, and people think that down the road he may be making an appearance.
That is strange.
Okay, yeah. So when I forgot what character it is, but they mention an attorney as whose last name is Morales, and
Morales'
parents are attorneys. So whether or not he will actually make an appearance, that was at least a nod, kind of a backwards wink. To the character, so I don't know.
Yes, I do remember that now. You know, and it's funny because there's all the so all this news came out. You know, the memo was leaked. Stan Lee defended it. They cast a young white kid as Peter Parker, and then Marvel said, "Oh, by the way,
in the
comics, your new Spider-Man."
Is Miles Morales.
Yes, but they said one of your new Spider-Man.
Right. Initially, right. The initial story that came out.
Spider-Man is Miles Morales.
And then, of course, as we all know, as of today, while we're recording this.
They gave us the mother load.
Yeah, they gave us the mother load of who the characters are going to be and who's going to be starring in what teams. And it's a lot.
Well, it's 45 new number ones, like first issues.
Yes,
that's a lot of new.
Yep.
That's a lot of rebooted books.
And that's not even counting the foil covers and the three panel sets. And
what I found amusing is almost half of them. I didn't actually count, but it seemed like almost half of them either involve one of the Spider-Men as a team member or main character, or some offshoot Spider-Man like Venom or something like that. But there's like nearly half the books.
Yes, Marvel.
That is true. Yeah, there's a lot. There's like the Web Defenders, who are a new.
The Web Warriors.
The Web Warriors. And there's Spider Gwen, who's getting a new reboot, and then
there's
Spider Woman, who is pregnant, and there's a lot.
So. Yeah, I want to.
And Venom is showing up in the Guardians of the Galaxy, and it's a lot of a lot of weird stuff going on that we're going to have to figure out how this all works.
Yeah. The initial
news. I want to say Carnage has his own book too.
What was that?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
I think, Carnage has his own book as well.
Oh, of course. You know, that's like the Joker getting his own book.
Right.
So, yeah, first thing I want to say is, you know, back to the initial original news was Miles Morales as Spider-Man, and they were originally said Peter Parker was going to be his mentor.
Right.
And that he was going to now be a tech mogul instead of a high school science teacher.
Like, but he does own his own company now. I don't know how much you've been following Spider-Man in the regular continuity, but Parker Industries, he runs Parker. Ever since the Superior Spider-Man run, he has a company called Parker Industries.
Right.
He is a doctor now, has his doctorate, and runs a company, a startup. So I imagine that they're going to maintain that going forward.
Right, right, right. No, and I, you know what, that part of it I understand. It's definitely a more modern take on the character. There's definitely a lot of room for stories there and appeal to younger audiences. But what I found funny is, again, this is all under the guise of the all-new, all-different Marvel. But right. When I hear the experienced Spider-Man and he's going to be the mentor to the kid,
mm-hmm.
I think Batman Beyond. So,
nice. What's wrong with that? That's a very good model.
Go into a mountain and eat pixie dust for 3 days.
I mean,
so the crotchety old Spider-Man with the little spider dog and in the spider cave. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
it could work.
Yeah, I know. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it just seemed like such an obvious parallel. You know,
yeah, that's not a bad parallel.
That didn't
though.
Initially jump out at me, but I see your point for sure.
Well, they have the same thing going on apparently with Captain America now.
Yes,
they have old man Steve Rogers and young Sam Wilson. Not that he's really young at this point.
Yes, yeah. I mean, you know, they say the all new, all different Marvel, but it kind of seems like they were sitting around and they were like, we're out of ideas. What did DC do that really worked?
That's true. And that's not the only... So they're also doing it with Kate Bishop is becoming the new Hawkeye. And yep. then
X-23 is going to be the new Wolverine.
Yeah.
Oh, who's the new Star-Lord?
Kitty Hyde?
Oh, okay. I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, because Star-Lord's getting his own comic series. So
I did see that. And I did notice the Guardians of the Galaxy book looked like it was a female version of Star-Lord, and I was curious about that, but I wasn't sure the explanation.
I kind of wonder, was that done because, oh, look, Chris Pratt, here's our breakout star.
Well, Drax has his own book, too. Like, a bunch of them have splintered.
Sure. Yeah. You know, because, I mean, come on, there's a property that no one cared about for a really long time, you know?
Yeah.
And then that movie blew up, and now it's like, oh, whoa, Star-Lord's going to get his own book. Okay.
Is he going to fight dinosaurs?
Yes.
Yeah, I sure do.
Yes.
Because that would be awesome.
He's going to... what's the name of the department he works at in Parks and Recreation?
That's the name of the department.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so he's going to work for...
Parks and Recreation.
He's going to work for the city. Fight dinosaurs and yeah, it's gonna be a great book.
So let me get this straight. They have a lot of these new titles are actually going to be centered around female characters.
A bunch of them are, yeah.
Yeah, that seems to be a trend for a lot of them, which, yeah, that's, I think that's pretty awesome.
Ugh, and we still don't have a Wonder Woman movie. Really. DC, what's wrong with you?
You know what? We're gonna get one. That's good. And I guarantee you, it's not gonna be that good. Unless. There's been talks for the Captain Marvel, that is going to be directed by Angelina Jolie and that Charlize Theron is going to be Captain Marvel. Yeah.
I would go to that. Are you kidding me? And yeah. Angelina Jolie is actually a pretty damn good director. You can bet that it'll actually be a good, you know, woman's role as the main character kicking ass, and it would just be really cool.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think she's a fantastic director, and she just did Maleficent. So I think she understands the kind of like half family, but half like, you know, dark side that Marvel kind of has going on. Yeah, I think she's going to be a good writer.
Mm. Agreed. And also, it seems like Charlize Theron is actually aging backwards, so I think it's fine.
Yeah, she's got a painting in her attic that's aging for her.
Yes. So I do have a point of confusion, though, with this new, the all-new, all-different Marvel that we will be seeing coming soon. Because there is sort of this impetus that they've been setting that they are rendering the multiverse asunder and converging everything together into one thing. But then they have books that clearly take place in other parallel worlds. Like, they're doing a Spider-Gwen series that is not merged into the 616 universe. She's still in her own pocket universe. So I'm a little bit confused as to what exactly they're doing there and how that's going to work. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But
yeah. Well, then like DC, a couple of months from now or a couple of years from now, they can do the re-imaging of everything in order to fix all the continuity problems that they create with this. And then sell a whole bunch of new number ones.
Right. When they give them all new costumes that everybody hates.
Yes. Yeah. Think Mystery Man. I'm sure.
Oh, John. So.
I love Mystery Man.
So a little bit back to the Spider-Man side of stuff, right? Like you had said that. You guys have both said this is a very Spider-Verse heavy new 616 that we're heading into.
I think I counted at least like 19 books that had a Spider-Man related character on the cover or involved in the team.
Yeah, Iron Man's jelly.
Right, and we have
super jelly. You only got one.
We have so let's see. Amazing Spider-Man, Carnage, Spider-Woman, Spider-Man. Spider-Gwen, Silk, Spider-Man 2099.
Right. And he's also a member of the all-new, all-different, Avengers.
Avengers, right. There's a Venom. Venom Space Knight.
Venom Space Knight. Venom is also in the Guardians of the Galaxy. So there's a lot of overlap that they're the same characters. And he even appeared on the cover of Old Man Logan.
Yes. So.
So everywhere. So some version thereof.
So Marvel won. You like Spider-Man? Here's Spider-Man. Deal with it.
He tested well as a kid.
Oh,
and,
I like.
And John, I don't know if you.
I'm sorry. I like the tagline for the all-new, all-different Avengers: Earth's most dedicated heroes, with mightiest crossed out.
Yes. Right. But not mightiest yet. They're working on it.
No, right. We have three Avengers titles. But anyway.
But I do like what will probably be John's most favorite book in this entire run.
Uh-oh.
Is Howard the Duck number one. With the tagline.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Howard.
Tagline is amazing.
Why did they let him out of the collector's face? Oh,
what's wrong with Howard the Duck?
Well, even Howard the Duck seems ridiculous on the cover of a book.
You know.
But then again, they can do him right now because Disney owns Marvel, and therefore there is copyright infringement.
He will be a duck. He will be maintained in his form that he's supposed to be, and everything will be fine.
So, along the lines now, obviously, when a few years ago, DC, now obviously Marvel's not resetting their universe. This is more lines along the lines of convergence, where they're combining their multiverse, kind of. But they're relaunching it all with new number ones. And we know when DC did the new 52, some of the titles obviously continued on, and then some got dropped and they brought in new books. So do you guys have any predictions on, you know, what books are going to, let's say, last the first round and which books might be dropped?
Mm. I have to say, if I had to pick anything as being a weak one in this list, the Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D. seems a likely candidate to probably fall off first. I mean, it seems interesting, and it combines a bunch of monster characters, and it could be a fun book, but there's, I don't think there's enough going on in the zeitgeist to draw an audience for it, and it might have trouble holding its own.
I agree with that, and even the show going on right now, it does not get good ratings. And it seems like even the, like, Marvel, oh my god, I just also heard that. It seems like the, like, even people who love Marvel, they don't watch the show at all. There seems to be not much of a big interest in that story arc.
Well, if you compare it to Gotham, like, you know.
That's true. Is anyone watching Gotham?
I watch more of it than I'd like to admit. I do not like the show, but I watch it for John. So I can yell at
him. The sad thing is, I have the last episode of the last season on my DVR, and I just have no compunction to watch it.
I can spoil it for you if you'd like.
No, that's perfectly fine. At some point, I'll be so bored that maybe I'll key it up while I'm waiting for Flash or something. Personally, I think it depends on the writers that they get. I think we've proved, I don't know why. I don't think the show is that bad. The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I actually think it's pretty good. They've got some interesting things going on at least, but, it's completely up to the writing. So like half the Spider-Man will probably go because there's only so many situations you can have and so many happenstances that you can have with people with spider powers, unless you bring in Madame Web again to just, you know, clear the field. But other stuff like the Age of S.H.I.E.L.D. or the S.H.I.E.L.D. comic book, even Howard the Duck might stick around for quite a while. It depends on the writer. They've good writer for Guardians of the Galaxy because they've proven that. I think that original title went out because of disinterest and not having good writers on it. With the movie, you can tell what you can see what you can do with a good writer.
Right.
With those characters. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff they could mine with those characters.
Yeah. I kind of feel Howard.
I think.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Finish what you're saying.
I kind of feel Howard is, he doesn't fit in today's world, you know, at least the Howard Duck that I knew from the 80s, you know, foul mouth, womanizer type character. Unless they totally revamp the character, I don't see him lasting long.
I mean, we don't need it if we have Ted, right?
Yeah,
sure. It doesn't fit into this situation at all.
But with what they're building in the Marvel universe, I don't think he really fits anymore.
So you're saying that the last issue will be a certain mouse coming and stamping him out.
Possibly.
We'll see. I'm curious to see if Vision sticks around. That's one that I'd like to see more of, but I tend to believe he doesn't always get a very strong fall most of the time, and often he's off.
That's true. But I feel like with the Avengers that just came out, I feel like there's a peak interest in the characters. So.
True. But I think the writing will be important to see if it succeeds.
Mm-hmm. True.
I think if they give us the vision that they showed in Avengers 2, it'll last.
Perhaps.
You know, Vision's kind of been the character in the last, I would say, decade. When they needed somebody to kill, they just brought him in for a couple panels and he got his head blown off or something. Because he could just keep remaking his body and put his consciousness back in there. So yeah, I mean he's kind of become a joke in that way. But stop that.
Sorry, it's the satellite link up.
It's the whole Data Star Trek Next Generation type exploring humanity character. I think can work. You know,
it can, but I think that Data is a good analogy because with Data, he was a fun novelty for a period, and then he got tired. Mm-hmm. Like there was the case throughout the show that like initially the first season, everyone thought Data was fascinating, but he sort of got like his affectations got sort of cumbersome after a while. And when they did data-centric stories, I don't think it was really the best stories they did in the show over future seasons. And then in the movies, they sort of rejuvenated whole generations. They made him funny, interesting, or movie. And then it got tired again. Like, it's, I feel like Vision is that, essentially that same character. It's, you have to find a way to keep an equilibrium or keep a momentum with, and keep him evolving in a way that's not the Pinocchio story.
True, but right. A good writer will find a way to do that.
Yeah. I think the sleepers in this series of new issues they're releasing, the ones that might surprise people as how successful they might be, are some of the darker ones. Like, I don't have any interest in necessarily in, say, Karnak, but if it's written well, it could be a really interesting book.
Okay.
To take a different, to, from, like, the villain's perspective type of stories. They have a handful of those.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Again, DC did it, you know, they've written books from the villain's point of view. So now this is Marvel saying, oh, look, we can do it too.
And it'll be super funny. Watch it.
I worry that Silk will get washed out just because of Spider's situation.
Yeah. Which, that was actually my first instinct.
I think she's in, yeah. I think she's an interesting character, and I think they can go places with her, but she's already had a mixed reaction from fans as it is. Like, for some people, for some reason, people have loved Spider-Gwen and hated Silk, and I don't really see why in their depictions, but it's a fan reaction. And it's a strong possibility we'll get more of that in the, when they do these reboots in the fall.
So that's what we should be calling a new Marvel Universe. Spider saturation.
there's your cover, Ben.
All right.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious what they're going to do with the old man Logan. I mean, that was a cool one-off story, you know, to do a whole series on it. I think that's one that might get old quickly, you know, especially because here's what I don't understand. Is it old man Logan still in the future? Or are they bringing him into the 616? Then it's like, okay, now we just have an old Wolverine.
Yeah, that seems like a weird thing to do.
Yeah, he was crotchety to begin with, but make him an old man, and jeez. He'd be just walking around slapping people with a cane. he'd be like a tougher version of Professor Xavier. Which...
Okay, so what books are you guys looking most forward to reading?
For me, I'm excited to read, I'm a huge Deadpool fan, so.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I feel like they can almost do no wrong, but I'm interested to see, because they've done Deadpool a lot of ways. They've done him, you know, very offensive, and they've done him more PG, so I'm kind of wondering what route they're gonna take, but I'm excited to read that.
Yeah. I want to say they've made him almost like a family man recently, which is weird.
Right. Yeah. Like, he cares too much. It's weird.
Yeah. I've been a fan. The ones that I've been a fan of more recently that I'd like to see more of and hopefully some continuity with is Hawkeye, surprisingly, because I like the Kate Bishop and Clint Barton dynamic, because they've had both of them in the recent run of that comic, and I really liked sort of the pairing of them. By the way, really fun little nod, Easter egg. If you get a chance and can go back and find the Halloween, like the October issue of Hawkeye from 14, Kate Bishop shows up at Clint Barton's house on Halloween night, when he's dealing with some things, and she's in costume. She's in a Halloween costume. She's dressed as Hawkeye from MASH.
Oh, man. Hilarious.
Oh, nice.
And it never gets acknowledged. It's never spoken. But it's just, if you catch it, it's hilarious.
Oh, how about you?
So that's one. And Ms. Marvel I've really enjoyed, because it's an interesting, it's that nerd take of things. It's fresh.
How about you, John?
Well, I'm definitely interested in seeing the Guardians of the Galaxy one. And by extension, I guess I want to see what they're going to do with Star-Lord all by himself.
Right.
But looking at this list, I don't know. A lot of this stuff really hasn't changed since, like, when I was collecting in the 90s. Mm-hmm. I might buy Howard the Duck number one just because I might need something to burn next winter.
You need kindling.
Yeah, and Old Man Logan number one just out of freaking, you know, utter curiosity.
Yeah. See how much he is like you.
Ha ha ha. Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I got X-Men'd out back when they just had, you know, too many X-Men titles and they were just crossing over all over the damn place.
Yeah.
But now they're doing that with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Captain Marvel.
One to overdo. One or two.
True. Very true. But Captain Marvel I'll buy too.
Yeah, I like Captain Marvel.
That's really good.
I want to see that one.
I think I'm most curious about Amazing Spider-Man, just for the fact that if you guys remember when we had Tom DeFalco and Ron Frenz on the show, they had talked about the Clone Saga, our favorite Spider-Man storyline, and he had said that the original plan was that they were going to have Ben Reilly take over as Spider-Man. And Peter Parker was going to get to retire.
Settle down and
have his family and move on with his life. And, you know, they would have the baby that was going to be Mayday and blah, blah. So we all know, you know, historically, that's where Spider-Girl comes from. I'm kind of curious if that'll have that kind of vibe now. If, you know, he's going to be more of a business guy and trying to put on the costume less and settle down with MJ at this point, you know.
I still think there's a chance that he might get to do that, because even though there is an Amazing Spider-Man book that has Peter Parker Spider-Man on the cover, it may not be that Peter Parker.
Right.
Because with all of the Spider-Verse crossover, they've unleashed literally dozens of Peter Parkers. And it could be any one of those who takes up that mantle that gets mashed into 616 and takes over from there.
It could be a long forgotten clone.
Right.
it could
who
be Peter Parker.
Spider Island, I hope.
Peter Parker.
And I also Daredevil, number one. I definitely want to check out.
Now, who is his partner in that? Because I'm not. It looks kind of like Gambit, but I don't know if that's. Makes sense.
I'm not sure.
I read that it was when I was reading through comics, or at least that's some speculation, but
yeah.
I'm curious because I kind of, you know, couldn't do Daredevil anymore when he moved to LA and, you know, he didn't have a secret identity anymore and he was a suit, a lawyer wearing a red suit all the time. Like, he kind of became a joke of his former self.
Right.
So I'm kind of hoping they, you know, can reset that back to at least, I mean, cause you know, everyone loved the TV show. So now they're going to have to build on that, I think, and utilize that a little bit in this book. So kind of hoping they bring him back to his roots, you know,
maybe they can change it so that when he hits his cane down on the ground, he turns into Thor. Thor Devil.
Thor Devil.
No, we have a female Thor now, John. Come on.
Make it more interesting.
So he grows breasts, is that what you're saying?
No, you're saying that. I didn't say that explicitly.
I only insinuated it, so I don't know what you're talking about.
So yeah, I definitely will be checking that out. Yeah. And also, now that you mentioned Thor, it does bring up an interesting point.
Well, he doesn't have one, does he?
No.
Does he?
No.
There is no Thor
there
title.
Was a Thor.
Oh, no, the Mighty
there
Thor.
Was a Thor title.
Yeah, the Mighty Thor. There it is.
Oh, there's a Mighty Thor.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's still female Thor.
Right. Like, are they going to, how are they going to wrap up that storyline? You know, is she going to take the mantle forever? Or, you know.
I don't know.
Do you guys all know who is?
Well, I know.
Okay.
Does everyone else know who the identity of the new female Thor?
I'm still crying into my DC books, so I really don't know.
It was revealed recently that it's actually Jane Foster, and she's suffering from cancer.
Yes.
And is terminal, but she's, you know, strong and powerful when she has Mjolnir.
Right.
That's a cop out. They should have a cure the cancer. Just let a woman
think
wield Mjolnir.
I got the impression it does the opposite. It actually might be accelerating her death.
Oh, good. Goody, good, good.
But I'm sure they'll find a way to fix that.
Wait, I want to hear this. Why?
No,
why is Maggie saying good, good, good?
Yeah, oh, yeah. That was sarcastic. I don't know.
I got that as sarcastic,
okay.
Yes.
I recognize they're going to have to reset somehow, but yay, yeah. Let's kill her with cancer.
Oh, sarcasm. What's that taste like?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you know,
that's just wrong. They really should just, you know, just let her wield it, you know? If they want to make ripples, fine. Kill off Wolverine. Let a woman be Thor. Just do it, you know?
Yep.
Take the plunge. Don't write yourself a Deus Machina.
I know Dave has his attachments to the original Thor, but I'm perfectly okay with female Thor continuing to be.
Well, I will remind everyone of a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. We had
everything. Jeff Sutter said everything comes a full circle.
Exactly. He made a very valid point that at this point, all these characters are properties, and eventually they'll all get reset back to the original. You know, maybe slightly different, but they will go back to the original. And it was funny because he said this right before Superior Spider-Man became Amazing Spider-Man again.
Guess so. It was still about 6 months before that actually fully reset.
Right. But, I mean, a lot of people just thought they were going to go on this way for, you know, maybe forever.
Right. I think they'll go on for it as long as people are willing to buy the issues with that paradigm in place. So if the Mighty Thor sells well and people stop complaining about it and enjoy the book, I think they'll keep it going as long as they can.
You know what the best thing about it would be? Seeing Natalie Portman in Avengers 3 wielding Mjolnir.
That would be worth it.
Because that hammer is probably about half as tall as she is.
Yeah. No, but all I'm saying is the concept of the story is, you know, she is dying of cancer, and when she wields the power, it's accelerating her death. Which means there has to be an ultimate conclusion to that story.
No, there doesn't. Because there have been other characters who were, quote-unquote, dying of cancer that you thought were going to die off, and they didn't. For instance, Eddie Brock was supposed to have died off from cancer from the Venom symbiote, but he didn't. He actually was cured and became the Anti-Venom. So they can be going down that road and then give you a curveball and take it a different direction.
Which is one of the dumbest characters Marvel has ever created.
I didn't say it was a good example. I'm just throwing it out there as an example.
But it would be weird if, okay, you know, Asgard, they're still doing either the mystic or the high science thing. Asgard doesn't have a cure for cancer. Really?
Yeah, wait a minute.
Come on.
Come on.
No, in the Marvel comics, it's still the mystical Asgard, not the high science alien Asgard.
Oh, yeah, so magic couldn't possibly cure cancer.
Hey, if it can't fix someone's hands, how do you expect it to cure cancer?
That's a good point. let's see, anything else that we want to add before we wrap it up here? It covers for me. Maggie, have anything that you want to currently plug?
Great question. You guys can, you can follow me on Twitter at Maggie May Fish. And you can check out my Comic On comic show on YouTube. New videos every week, so yeah.
Awesome.
Sweet.
Right. It was watching that show that inspired me to ask you to join this one because I saw your video talking about the Spider-Man news.
Right. Well, hey. Yeah. Well, good choice. Here I am. Those are my thoughts.
Yes. Awesome. Oh, we didn't talk about the villain.
The villain.
What villain?
Oh, that is true. Yes. The one thing that Feige said is...
Right. He loves throwing these little snippets out there. Apparently, yes. Whoever we see as a villain in the next Spider-Man movie will not be someone we've seen on the big screen yet.
Mm.
Which makes sense. You know, they want to, you know, they're rebooting him without trying to really reboot him, and they want to have it still feel fresh, you know, like it's continuing on. So, yeah, bringing back Harry Osborn or Norman.
We've done that story to death.
Or the Rhino. Exactly.
No, And
well, hopefully, eventually they can do the Rhino right, but that's another
hopefully. But yeah, and as I've said to you before, Dave, if I had to predict, my first guess would probably be that it'll be Chameleon, only because I think that's it pays homage to the comics well, because that was his first villain in the comics.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is sure how they'll sell it too. Like, whoa, this is the best iteration because it's the most accurate.
What else is there? Who else haven't we seen? I don't think we've seen Scorpion or Mephisto or...
But we also haven't seen Mysterio, and Mysterio's a pretty big villain they could throw up in there.
And
there's no powers really to deal with there. He's a human magician.
Right. We haven't seen Kraven.
Which would be an interesting way to go, because I think so many of his villains have been, like, you know, half animal hybrids, that keeping it really human might be a nice... Yeah.
Agreed.
But with Chameleon too, it would be so easy to do too. With the world that they've established, even just those cyber masks that are in Agents of Shield that nobody watches.
I watch that all the time. Dude.
Well, Maggie said no one watches it, so I have to go by what she says.
I'm the cool one, you guys. You have to listen to what I say.
No one watches that
show. No one watches it.
So, yeah, no, but that'd be a way to like, instead of him just being a guy making masks, you know, he could have a cyber mask and be some kind of, like, tech guru. You know?
Well, he could be a sort of a dark version of, like, a Jason Bourne, but with the disguise technology. Sort of like what's his name? Ethan Hunt from Mission Impossible. You know, they have that mask thing in those movies as well. So it could be similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get Tom Cruise to play the Chameleon?
No.
Oh, God.
You heard it here first. Tom Cruise?
Well, if you want to make sure that everybody roots for Spider-Man, then yeah.
Actually, yeah, I could see him as a villain. That'd be an interesting turn.
Yeah. Although they are, it's not been officially confirmed, but there has been talks that Matthew McConaughey is going to be Norman Osborn.
Hmm.
No. So it doesn't necessarily mean that he will be the Green Goblin in
Right. They'll just start establishing that legacy.
Yeah.
They should bring back Stiltman or Mud Thing.
Oh, God.
Well, there was a Stiltman Easter egg in Daredevil. So.
Really?
They haven't done Vulture technically yet either. Even though they showed a wingsuit in the background in the last Abomination they did.
Right. So they also showed Doc. I'm sorry. They also showed Doc Ock's arms too.
Yeah, because they have to interconnect it.
Hmm.
Right, because they wanted to do a Sinister Six movie and a solo Aunt May movie.
God. Oh, me.
Yeah, I remember we talked about that. That was insane.
Didn't they already do that? I thought it was called Golden Girls.
Well, you know, now that they're going with the John Hughes vibe, you know who'd make a great Aunt May is Molly Ringwald.
John Hughes is still working, right? So can we get him to write and direct?
He's not working.
No?
He's not ever working again.
Oh, he's dead?
He died in 2009.
Oh, see? I didn't know that.
You heard it here her first, folks.
Oh, gods.
Only 6 years late, but you've already heard.
Awkward.
Oh, now I'm sad. I'm sad for two reasons.
Yes.
Yes, John Hughes is dead, and Matthew McConaughey might be in a Spider-Man movie.
Yep.
Oh.
Still, I have faith in the Feige.
Yes, we all must have faith in the Feige. Feige. Oh, that was just... Really bad stuff.
He wears his mantle of power well.
So, if no one else has anything else to add, I think we can put a pin in it here.
I think we can.
All right.
Yeah.
So, as we say each and every week, boys and girls, don't let your cape caught in the door. Have a good week.
Okay, now it's my turn. Okay, what are you doing? Taking over Dad's mic so I can be part of superhero speak. Duh. Well, there are better ways to join the conversation. Really? Like what? Well, you can interact with them on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and even Pinterest. Wait, people use Pinterest? And what's Google Plus?
I don't know, something to do with circles. Anyway, you can also see all their posts, including comic book videos, on their website, where you can also sign up for their mailing list.
Cool!
Yep, are you still going to try to hijack Dad's mic?
Nope, I'm going to try to answer the Stump the Geek question.
Nice. So who do you think would win in a fight between Rainbow Dash and Squirrel Girl?
That's a hard one. Oh no, Dad's waking up. My favorite lies!
Oh, what are you guys doing? That cape's going to get caught in the door.